Today we're looking at a familiar parable from Matthew chapter 13. Parable about the sower who spreads seeds, spreads them all over. Seeds taking root, and we're supposed to be the good soil in which this seed takes root, changing us and maybe even changing the world. But it's interesting that Jesus himself, when he's explaining this parable to the disciples, doesn't call it the parable of the seed. He doesn't call it the parable of the soil. Jesus calls it the parable of the sower. What is it about this sower? Now, there are two things about me that some people have a hard time understanding. The first thing is that I grew up in a Swedish home. I went to North Park Seminary in Chicago, and I don't like coffee. The other is that I'm not a gardener. If any of you know Pastor Glenn Weiberg, who was our pastor emeritus who just passed away last month, he was a wonderful gardener. His garden right over here on Tioga Boulevard in New Brighton was a beautiful place. When I was associate pastor here at Salem way back in the 1980s, I once raised a question at a staff meeting. I asked senior pastor Glenn Weiberg, "I suppose you wonder how I fit on the staff here at Salem since I don't drink coffee." Glenn smiled and he responded, "Oh, I don't question that, but I do wonder if you can really be a Christian and not be a gardener." Now, in my defense, we don't know how much gardening Jesus did. But we do know that he grew up in the home of a carpenter. So Jesus probably knew how to work with his hands. He probably knew wood. And I do like to work with wood. Just saying. Now, whether Jesus gardened or not, we do know that Jesus used a lot of images from the world of agriculture. If he didn't garden himself, he was certainly close to it, close to the earth. The people with whom he talked, they were close to the earth. They understood it. At least they understood the images with which he was working, if not always what Jesus was trying to get at. Our passage today, Matthew 13, begins with the words, "that same day," which makes us pause for a moment and think, okay, what else was going on that same day? If we go back into chapter 12, we read about several miracles that Jesus performed, several healings. And each time Jesus performed a healing, it seems the Pharisees were on the other side, not seeing it as Jesus did. Resisting those healings, seeing Jesus even as a threat. At one point, the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. Two different ways to see things. Jesus healing, crowds coming. The Pharisees and many others resisting, not seeing things the same way. Jesus told the Pharisees at one point, in chapter 12, when they asked him for a sign. Here he'd been doing all these signs. "Well, Jesus, give us a sign." He said, "The only sign you're going to receive is the sign of Jonah. 3 days in the whale." We'll get back to that in a moment. Instead of more signs, Jesus began to speak in parables. The beauty of a parable is that its images are familiar. They draw us in, they hook us, they catch our attention, they make us think if we are open. A parable engages our mind and we are drawn into the image. We are involved in a truth about life or maybe a question about life. We are involved in confronting our own life in ways we probably would not have without the parable. So here then is the parable of the sower. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. The birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it died, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. The parable of the sower seems rather straightforward, very common stuff. A person, some seed, different kinds of soil, birds, thorns. Nothing really out of the ordinary. There even seems to be a rather straightforward spiritual meaning. The seeds are sown, the word of God goes out, and it is received in many different ways. Are we to be the good soil, where we receive that seed, where we grow and change? Ah, Jesus, you tell it to them. Some of those people out there just aren't hearing. They just aren't receiving your seeds. Wait a minute. I know enough about gardening, a little bit. I know that in order for a seed to have the best chance to grow, one must cultivate the soil, clear the rocks and thorns, weed it, get the soil ready. For a farmer or even for any backyard gardener, a seed is a very precious thing. Farmer fields and neighborhood plots usually are very carefully planned. Some people spend the winter planning their garden for the spring. One doesn't just carelessly throw out the seeds any which way, but plant carefully, cultivating the soil, preparing it. So there is something rather disturbing about this parable. Who is this sower who is so careless with the seeds? And what are the seeds that are being sown? And what is it that these seeds say about the kingdom of God? We know a little of the background. We know that the people of Jesus' day, the Jewish people, were looking for a Messiah. They were looking for one sent from God who would deliver them from the oppression of the Romans, who would restore Israel to their former greatness under Kings David and King Solomon. And the crowds gathered around Jesus, so great a crowd that he had to leave the shoreline, get into a boat, and move out into the water to teach them. They were looking for this Jesus of Nazareth to be that Messiah, to bring in the new order, to bring in God's kingdom. Finally, clean up all the problems, all the injustices in the world, to put down the oppressor, raise up the poor and the common people. They were looking for a strong, right-handed power person. And what I mean by right-handed power is muscle, military strength, the kind of power that moves in, no questions asked, cleans things up, sets things right, and by the way, puts the right people back in power. And the right people is always us, never them. In this case, of course, for the Jews, they were God's chosen people. Of course, they would be the ones in charge of this new order. Just tell it straight, Jesus. Get this thing moving. We've already seen the signs of your power. Get moving and we'll jump on the victory wagon. And 2,000 years later, we are still wondering why God doesn't just step in and set things right. Why is there still so much innocent suffering in Syria, in South Sudan, in so many African countries, in the streets of St. Anthony, just south of the church? Why doesn't God just step in and set things right? That's not how God works. Not since flood and Noah has God had any interest in using drastic power to simply fix up the world. You see, that kind of straight line power works to get what you want. It works to achieve your goals. But it does not work to build a relationship. How many of us as parents have struggled in building relationships with our kids? How many times have we perhaps put too many rules, too many restrictions on a child, trying to get them to behave the way we would like them to behave, to turn out the way we want them to turn out? We know that too many rules, too many restrictions often lead to some kind of a rebellion down the road, trying to force kids to be and to behave how we want them to. No, this parable turns our view of the kingdom and even of parenting upside down. We say this is the kingdom of God, for heaven's sakes. We would expect fireworks on the 4th of July. We'd expect fanfare, trumpets announcing his arrival. But no, Jesus says it is like a seed. Do these seeds look like the kingdom of God? Do these seeds look very powerful? And think of how a seed works. It has to be placed in the ground. It has to be covered. It has to be buried, like death itself. And what are these seeds in the parable? As Matthew 13 continues, the disciples ask Jesus to explain this parable. They don't seem to understand. And so in his explanation, he says over and over again, the seeds fall on rocky ground, refers to people who hear the word. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they fall away. Seeds falling and people hear the word. But the seed falling on good soil, and the people hear the word and understand. The word, does it sound familiar? In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. These seeds that are going out are the word of God. These seeds that are being spread, Jesus himself. It's easy to get caught up in right-handed power, power that gets one's own way. The crowds were attracted by Jesus' power. They were attracted by the miracles, the healings, turning water into wine, feeding the 5,000. Many felt then, and many feel today, that those signs of power are the real heart of Jesus' program. But they were that, signs, only signs, pointing to the way of Jesus' true program, his death and resurrection. When the Pharisees asked for signs, Jesus said, you will receive only one sign, the sign of Jonah, 3 days in the belly of a whale. For Jesus, 3 days in a tomb. That's the sign they would get. Remember, seeds have to be placed into the ground and buried. Left-handed power looks like weakness. It doesn't use force or coercion. It doesn't lay down rigid rules that must be followed or else. It isn't always very impressive, like a tiny seed. When that seed is buried in the ground, you can look at that ground and one wonders if anything is ever going to come of it. Like the person who is continually giving of themselves to the needs of others. At times, that can look like weakness. Too weak to say no. Or it can look like Jesus. His program looked like weakness, continually giving of himself to anyone who had need, outcasts, sinners, children. His program looked like weakness as he stood before Herod and Pilate. His program looked like weakness as he hung upon a cross between two thieves. God in Jesus Christ has spread these tiny little seeds, which look way too small to build a kingdom. And these seeds, his word, are spread carelessly all over, some falling on hard ground where it is trampled, or perhaps just dries up, some falling among the weeds where it is choked, some falling among the fields, being sown once, twice, even three times, each time swept away by another inundation, by a flood. And we raise the question, why, God? Why are you so careless with your seeds? Why are you so careless with the Word, with Jesus, his life? Because that is the way that left-handed power works. That is the way that love works, giving of itself time and time again, even when there is resistance. Brian Heyerdahl says about this parable, beneath this parable is a bedrock assumption of abundance that we too rarely trust. There is seed enough to lose. Grace is flung liberally. Even when it is offered and there seems there is no chance it will be accepted, the Jewish authorities expected the Messiah to come supporting their rules and their program. They expected the Messiah would come and build on their order. The Jewish people expected the Messiah to come and to free them from the oppression, to disperse the hated Roman occupation. Nobody expected the Messiah to come like a seed, carelessly offered to everyone. What if the unclean get a hold of it? What if a Gentile gets a hold of it? What if someone we don't like, someone cranky or ornery, someone we consider an enemy, what if they get a hold of it? Nobody expected the Messiah to come like seeds carelessly scattered to everyone. Nobody expected the Messiah to come like a seed and die. Nobody expected him to come in weakness, in humility, in complete self-giving. And many of that day could not see it. Jesus quotes the prophet Isaiah, "You will indeed listen, but never understand. You will indeed look, but never perceive." And many today cannot see it. I believe that Jesus' heart ached as he thought of people who would not accept the seed, who would not accept him. Oh, to have our hearts open to receive him. Not the one who comes to make us powerful or successful, but the one who comes to make us weak as he was weak. The one who comes to help us give as he gave. The one who comes to die that we might have life. We see it on this table, broken body and spilled blood, dying that we might have life. In the words of Pastor Joanne Lee of the Calvary Presbyterian Church in San Francisco, she says, "God gives freely, hoping to find good soil, but with no guarantee that this will happen. this kind of lavish abundance, grossly distributed grace, is a call and a challenge.